I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on. Welcome aboard, everybody. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about some of the things that make life work, that helps us all to actually interact with each other in the appropriate way. It's what makes societally civil. And those things really are values and ethics. Now, I teach values and ethics out in the business world. I teach it to law enforcement officers, and I teach it to school people. I also try and live it. I try and be an ethical person based on value, core values. Try to figure out what my core values are. Do you know what your core values are? Core values are the things that we stick to, things that mean something to us, that we're willing to fight that battle because of. It's not something that we start out as young people necessarily with, but we develop them over time through our experience, and it really involves our personality as we develop, as we mature as adults, and it leads into the bigger society. When I look back, I remember that my neighborhood and my family and my friends, even though we were all different, everybody had the same basic set of core values. You took care of family. You were honest. Your word meant something. When you gave your word, you did a handshake. That was it. It was done. You didn't have to worry about somebody going back on you. All right, so we look at the modern world, and I have to say, so where do we get our value and ethics from? Where do they develop from, and where do we get them? Well, it seems pretty clear that values and ethics come to us from religion. You know, whatever religion you practice, there are usually some value and ethics that are part of the whole entire package. They come from our community. I remember there was an older woman who lived across the street from me growing up. Her name was Paulette. She was a tough old woman, and I believe she was from Poland. And after the war, she came here to America, and she lived in the ironbound section of Newark. And she would tell me when she was a younger person, when she was a kid, her mother, the whole neighborhood would go out, and just about every day they would scrub down the porch, they would scrub down the sidewalks. Their neighborhood was a prideful place for them. It was their home. And even though they didn't have money, they were very, very poor, they cleaned their neighborhood. They took pride in that. They looked out for each other. If somebody was hungry, even though they might have had a family of 7 or 8 or 9, which is almost unheard of today, and they had just enough food, if the family next door was short, they would take a little bit of it and bring it over there to them. They had value. They cared for each other. So our values not only come from religion, but they come from our community. They also come from our families. You know, what did your mother and father tell you? Or what did your aunts and uncles tell you? Your older brothers, sisters, whatever. They helped us to develop who we were supposed to be as adults. I look at families today, though, and you say, we have lots of broken families. We have families where people don't have fathers. They don't have people that can help them, that can guide them. The families are all broken up. They're all confused. There's a mishmash now of what's considered to be a family. And I'm not putting it down. Any group of people that wants to call themselves a family and they love each other, that's better than them not loving each other. So I don't misconstrue anything I'm saying. Whatever family unit you have is a blessing to you. But do we all have those tight groups, no matter what they're made up from? Another place we get ethics from is from our work, our employer. When we go to work every day, what is the culture of where we work? You know, is it to put out the best product? Is it to take care of the people who are working there? Is it to help a community? Or is it really just about profits? Is it about making money? And hey, screw those employees. Who cares? How many people have had their contracts cut out from under them? How many people have had their business shut up and move offshore because, you know what, instead of paying you $13 or $14 an hour with some meager healthcare benefits, we could pay somebody 48 cents a day, all right, overseas. Is that ethical? What kind of a value is that? Is there any justice in that happens? So these are the kind of questions that I'm asking myself. Does having a common set of values that we all used to have, and the theme here, I think it goes back to other things. We all used to believe the same things. We just had different ways of getting there when we spoke politically. But our values and our ethics, also, we had a common set of values, what was right and what was wrong. And that seems to have really been skewed, I don't know, in the past 20 or 30 years. but it's become a real mess. So my question is, does that mishmash of values and ethics, does that make for an enlightened society where we're all better off because we all do our own thing? Or does it lead to a train wreck? All right? Do we care about anything anymore? That's really the bottom line. So what I'm going to do is I'd like to talk about some of these topics. Truth, faith, giving somebody your word, charity, and how we take care of each other. And I got some gentlemen here that are going to join me. Gents, we have Mr. Bill Dallas. Bill, our man of conscience. He's our man of faith. He is the center of the group here that provides us with the guidance that we sometimes need here in the neighborhood. We have Jim Giordano. Jim is politically active in his community. He tries to always do the right thing. He's also our contrarian. You can say yes, he'll say no. The sky is blue. No, it's not. It's light blue. Jim is our contrarian. He always takes the other side, but with a purpose to move us all forward. And then we have over here, Mr. Jack Patterson, the backbone of America. It is men like Jack that go to work every single day, do the right thing with their family and their friends, someone you can always count on. It's what makes America great. Gentlemen, welcome aboard.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jeff.
So here we are on the America Out Loud Radio Network, and we're talking about some of these things. So where does truth, faith, giving your word, charity, those kind of things, where does that blend into life? Who's got something for me?
Well, Joe, I think law used to be based in religious doctrine. Ten Commandments, Golden Rule. Now it appears to be based on cronyism, it's fear-based, retribution, and it's used as a vehicle for people to get their own way, particularly politicians and the government.
So what you're saying is that these values, these ethics that we had, have kind of disappeared a little bit. It's become more of a, to use as tools to get things.
Oh, absolutely. They've taken God out of schools. They've taken God out of most government institutions. They've taken God out of the workplace. And I'm not talking about the Christian God, because we now are more pluralistic as a community.
Sure.
But most religions have the same tenets, positive tenets, typically the Golden Rule.
Right.
That in of itself has lost its... Most children today don't even know what the Golden Rule is. But
right.
We all were taught about the Golden Rule and how important it was.
Right. Just like ripping all the Ten Commandments out of courtrooms. They're not telling you have to be a Christian. They're saying these are the common rules of decency and treating each other well.
That's correct.
Man of faith, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I want to ask my buddy over here, Mr. Contrarian, what do you think the Golden Rule is?
Oh, the Golden Rule is treat others as you'd want to treat yourself.
No.
Okay.
It's love one another as I have loved you.
Well, we're talking semantics here.
Well, there's a big difference. You know, we have so many politicians that use semantics to their own benefit. You know, they say, Well, we're going to do this the right way. Well, what is the right way? My way or your way? And 9 times out of 10, it's always for their benefit. They're going to make something from it no matter what.
Now, is it wrong for a company or the organization to make something?
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. I had a customer who... was a buyer for a rather large company, and we've been doing business for a short time, and he came to me and he said, listen, we can do a lot more business if you get a little payback my way. And I said, well, what does that mean? He said, well, I could really use a little extra cash. And I said, well, we don't do that. He said, well, you want more business? This is the way we can do it.
So he was looking for a little on the side.
Yes.
A little bribe.
So I go back to the owner of my company and I said, this is what's going on over at this company. And he said, well, let's give him a little something. And I said, well, you give him a little something. I don't want to have any part of it. I don't believe in it.
Because if you start feeding the stray dog, what's going to happen next time? You're going to want a little more.
Yeah. So what happened was, we wound up not doing it, mm-hmm. and 6 months later, the guy was arrested for, not only was he fired from the company, but he was arrested for soliciting bribes.
Not a lot of value or ethics there, was there?
Not at all. Not
okay.
even.
Jack? Well, values to me, the real hot spot for me is ethics. Ethics seem to be monetarily driven. Everything that I see in the workplace, it's monetarily driven. What we say or what we do can be changed dependent upon what's in it for me. Right. And unfortunately, you see that more and more as the way of the world.
Well, let me ask you, isn't that really incentive driven? I mean, I have a company and I tell the people that go out and do lecturing for me, they teach classes for me. I tell them, here's what I'm going to pay you for this. You go out and do this class for me. I'm going to give you this fee, $800 for the day or whatever. And they go out and they accept that fee, and then they go out and they do the job. Then I get feedback that says, this was fantastic. This class was great. This speaker was tremendous. This was really an awesome kind of thing. I turn around and I usually call that speaker up and say, hey, man, that was great. You made me look good. You helped the company. And I'll throw him a little bit of extra. Now, I don't think that's the same as him saying, hey, you want me to do this class. Now, you better give me extra. But this is... it's okay for people to help each other in that way. The point is when they demand it, I think that might be a problem.
It's more like a commission, really, what you're talking about.
It's an incentive. That's what I'm saying. Can't we incentivize people to do things? Commission salesmen, the more they sell, the bigger paycheck they get. So they're incentivized to go do it. Right. If you allow mediocrity, you're going to get the same pay whether you sell more or not. Most people are not going to do more.
I speak more to the basics of ethics. What I speak of is people saying that they're going to do something and then not doing it, changing their mind, or flat out turning their back on you because the money is there to do so.
Okay.
And their word becomes meaningless. And when you don't have that, when you don't have an ethical core, you have nothing to stand on. Yeah, right. Unfortunately, the businesses today, Many years ago, it was a wonderful thing to have a nice home, maybe a pool in the backyard, a new car in the driveway. And that boss, that owner, what have you, was satisfied with that lifestyle and with the way his business was going. Now, if he's not on the cover of Forbes magazine, then you, as a worker, are no good.
We're talking about the private world. I think the greatest corruption is in the government world. I don't know if any of you have heard the Trump's new prescription program he just came out with yesterday. I was listening to the Health and Human Services director talk about the reasons why prescriptions are so high. And what I got out of that was the institutionalized corruption within the government has allowed this to happen, has allowed the foreigners for the same prescriptions that we pay $150 for, they pay $2 for. That needs to be corrected. And the reason, the basis for the institutionalized corruption that I see comes from a lack of values and a lack of ethics within government.
Why do you think there are so many people going to Canada to get their prescriptions, especially seniors who are on fixed incomes? They go to Canada just so they can buy that $2 prescription or instead of paying $100. It's a lot more economical for them to spend $100 to drive up there and drive back than it is to buy their medicine locally.
Sure, but the point is, why is it cheaper in Canada? It's because the American government has allowed the institutionalized corruption that precipitates from lobbying. And that was addressed also by the Health and Human Services Director. And it's caused the American people to be raped, so to speak.
It's also a byproduct of the free market economy. Mm-hmm. And the pharmaceutical companies see that and take advantage.
Well, isn't that really kind of what we're all about? I mean, if your boss came into you tomorrow and said, you're doing a great job, but we're going to cut your pay by 20% because you're just a good employee, would you stay or would you have a problem? You have a profit incentive. We all do. I think the point I'm hearing from everybody here goes back to my opening. When I talked about when you gave somebody your word, Jack, when you shook hands back, and I remember my father telling me, God rest his soul, if you give your word to somebody, you better follow through. You better do the right thing.
It's all you're worth is your word. That handshake has to mean something.
Right. So if we look at that and then we go back and say, these companies are out to just make money. Is there a place for government regulation? And this conflates all the problems we're having. We need government to do some things, but not others. And I think we said it the other day when we were talking about it, we said it's the only mechanism we have to making any of these things right.
But in this case, it's the government regulation that has allowed the pharmaceutical companies to take advantage of the American people at the expense of the people for their own profit, where if there was a free market, then it would self-regulate. And there is no free market because it's really a socialized system.
Okay. I get your point, and I want to move off of that, and I want to look at a couple of the other ones. We don't have truth anymore because people are trying to get things out of you. We can't do our word anymore. How about the charity? Are we still taking care of charities, or are we only taking care of charities because it's tax deductible? Or do we really care about other people?
Bill? There's a lot of charities out there that are good, solid charities, but the big ones, I don't want to mention them, but some of the big ones, some of the most popular ones, they're incentivized, and like you were talking about, Joe, in a negative way. They're paying their employees exorbitant amounts of money, and instead of 100% of the donations going to the charity and going to the people, we're getting 10%.
Right. And you know, I saw a chart the other day that showed that you give a dollar and 87 cents goes to overhead. But then again, if you have a nationwide organization and you want someone to manage that, a professional, you got to pay them a professional salary. So I appreciate what everybody's got to say here. There's a lot we have to deal with as a country, but our values and our ethics are suffering. And as a people, we have to look inward and decide what's right and wrong. Later on in round three, we're going to talk a little bit about ethics a little bit further. In a couple minutes, we're going to have an opportunity to listen in on some ethical things that go on in the mass media. We have a special coming up on round two I think everybody's going to like. So hang on. We'll be back on the America Out Loud Radio Network in a minute.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutLoud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
And welcome back to Chasing Justice here on America Out Loud Radio Network. Listen, while I'm talking about the America Out Loud Radio Network, I just want to mention that there's an awesome news show on Nozzle, which is fantastic. It's on the front page of the website. Anybody can go there. Malcolm Out Loud, excellent host. Ava's an excellent host. A good friend of mine, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, has programs on it. You'll love it all. It's the voice of American people. It's great. Matter of fact, there's another program, Viewpoint. And I should be on that one on May 22nd. So if you like Chasing Justice and you want to hear more of me, you can go on May 22nd and you can listen on The Viewpoint, and I'll be there with Malcolm Out Loud and his other guests. All right, here we go in round two. Values and ethics. We talked about that. We had a pretty good discussion there of where we think it's going with our group of fellows here. One of the things I want to bring up is the mass media. The mass media when it comes to values and ethics, because in our modern world of social media, television, all these other media outlets, we get a lot of people get their opinion and their understanding of ethics and what's valuable, what's important, what's correct from this media. So I have to ask, is the mass media truthful? Do they tell us the truth? We hear this big thing from the president and a lot of people on the right, you know, that it's fake news, that they're making up stories. And I think to a large part, we do see that. We do see them taking any source and then just running with whatever that source said and not actually looking it up. I heard somebody say the other day, and I thought it was a good point, they said they're not looking to corroborate, they're looking to be first. So you come out and say something about Trump, and it doesn't matter if it's fair or not, man, I'm going to be the first one to put it on the air, and they run right out and do it. So that's the question I'm going to throw out to you gentlemen. Is the mass media truthful? Is it ethical? Is it fair? Jack, you're chomping at the bit here, so go.
As far as truth and ethics are concerned in the media, from my viewpoint, I got to go back to what I was saying in the first segment today. I see it as being ratings driven. And ratings, of course, are nothing more than money. And I believe that their topics are monetarily driven. If they're going to say something that's out there, that's crazy, what the people want to hear, or even to back up the rhetoric of what they've already stated, I believe that's what's going to bring in the ratings. Inflammatory statements are going to bring on the ratings. And I think that's where they're going. I think that's how their ethics and their truthfulness is decided upon what's going to bring them more
money. Doesn't that go to the old newspaper adage that you say, if it bleeds, it leads? So if it was a crazy story, they throw that on to sensationalize something.
And let's face it, if you have good news on your television or radio program all the time, your ratings are going to be very low. People want to hear the sensationalist. They want to hear
the horrible crime. They want to hear the traffic, right? That's all good stuff, right? Oh, my gosh.
Jack, to some extent, you're correct. But it's not ratings-driven. It's agenda-driven. They don't care about ratings. Look at CNN. Look at the New York Times. All these papers, they're almost folding. They're going bankrupt. Because nobody's reading it anymore, because nobody believes them anymore.
That's because you got headlines that totally destroy the truth. Recently, in the New York Times, a lot's been made about President Trump's getting those three prisoners back from North Korea. Well, the headline for the New York Times recently said, you're not going to believe this, but it said, at a crucial time, Trump sends one of his top guys thousands of miles away. What would you make of that? He certainly didn't say anything about the prisoners. Maybe down further in the article, but that banner headline on the front page of the New York Times.
That was the State Department. He sent the Secretary of State over to North Korea to get them out.
Because,
and the press said he was out of town and gone. And you know.
Right, but we're talking about what's driving them to do this. Exactly what you said, Jim. It's they're dying. They need that crazy banner headline for people to just go ahead and buy the newspaper.
And you know where we see a lot of that too? When you're surfing the internet and you're out on social media, you see a lot of these things they call clickbait. They give you this crazy headline. You won't believe this is happening, right? And you click on it, and you never hear anything about what that was. It just gets you so you see the advertisers that are on there. You keep looking for the story, and it's not there. So when I see things on the internet now, I ignore most of them. Even though I'm interested in some of them, I say it's just clickbait. Mm-hmm. It's kind of ridiculous.
Well, a lot of times the problem is with the newspapers, like Bill was saying, is the sensationalist headline. Once you read into the article, try and find the truth. That's wherein the problem lies. Whether or not the truth is down in there, why he sent that person over, for what purpose, and what happened because of that man's visit to North Korea. If they want to talk about that and tell us the truth about the release of the three captives, that's fine. But if they want to continue on telling us about how Trump sent somebody away in a time of need,
well, that's just to make Trump look bad.
Well, it's sensationalism. It's going to sell that paper. And what do they care about? Selling the paper. It comes down to my point from our first segment. It's monetarily driven.
Well, I think you're both right. I'm going to give you a bolt. Bing, bing, bing. You both get points on that. It is ratings driven, and it is also monetarily driven. Now, that brings me to an interesting part of Chasing Justice here in round two. I'd like our entire audience to pay close attention because we have something special coming right now. Because this is a law enforcement-based kind of a show where we have inside people, inside connections, we got things going on. We have a group here called the Mighty Chasing Justice Players. And what they do is they illuminate things that are going on out in the world, things that the regular people would never get to know about. So right now, we're going to listen in to the Mighty Chasing Justice Players as they examine a modern American newsroom.
Did you see this? Hillary again?
What does he have?
The Mighty Chasing Justice Players take you inside the world of modern American newsrooms using drone technology and illegal wiretaps provided by American heroes like James Comey. Let's listen in to the presentation and the preparation for the nightly news.
God, what do you think's going on with this boss?
Why is he having
North Korea?
I don't know. Okay, okay. Let's get it together here. All right. Now, we got to put together tonight's newscast. So let's get some ideas rolling here, okay? And let's deal with the latest Trump messes, okay? Ready? Go.
Well, how about a detailed piece on the record low unemployment? The stats are clear. Things have never been better.
What? Do you think people care about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, it means more money in people's pockets, right? So I think people will care.
Oh, you do, eh? Well, here. Come on over here. Come on over here close to me. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. What are you, nuts? Whoa. Go out and get me a mocha latte, chattopati, whatever it is with some chai in it. Okay?
Latte, yeah.
Okay. Move it. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Thank you for your brilliant idea. Okay. Whoa. Anybody else got any real news items for this show?
Be careful.
I do, boss. How about a look at the unbelievable success getting North Korea to the table and moving toward disarming a tyrannical regime that's threatening the whole world? I mean, Trump seems to have outsmarted everyone on this one.
It stop right there. You think Trump has anything to do with this? This has Obama written all over it.
Well, it seems clear that he...
Seems clear? To who? Those right-wing, gun-toting, Reagan-loving religious types that want to force us all into church on Sunday? When we could be kneeling for the national anthem to show our support for real American heroes that despise the hatred that this country is guilty of? Do you mean those people?
Oh, well, not really. I mean...
I know what you mean. Hey, listen, all of you. You've been here a long time. So, Jim, instead, why don't you go focus on some evil statues in some park somewhere or find some people who are offended or something. All right? There's plenty of them out there. All right, next. And it better be good.
Uh-oh. Well, I've got something here, boss, that'll work. I mean, it's positive, it's powerful, and it's got real meaning.
What is it? You mean, is Hillary going to give it another try? Now, that's great news. That's what I'm talking about.
No, boss, that's not it. That's not it at all.
Oh, well, let me see. What's going on here? You said it was positive. What is it? Did Al Gore invent another internet or something? Did a glacier crash into Australia? What is it, man? Don't keep me waiting.
No. Well, listen. Trump just said that tax cuts he passed have improved the lives of millions of Americans and consumer confidence. Well, it's pretty much off the charts.
Yeah. Right. Listen, all of you, come here. Well, that's a lot of nonsense. Here's what real news is. I got information that as a student, Trump was thrown out of class repeatedly for speaking out of turn and causing trouble with innocent kids in his class. Now, who wants to cover this winner?
Boss, I'll take that one. What university was it? I'll check it out right away.
Hang on. I got to hear it in this stack of papers here somewhere. Ah, here it is. Yeah, I got it right here. It was Mrs. McGillicuddy's fourth grade homeroom at PS 37 in Queens, New York, 1964.
Are you kidding me? Fourth grade? Boss, did you say fourth grade homeroom, 1964?
Yes, Jim. I was very clear. It's a story. People will care about this. This proves he's a bully. Now that is real news. Listen, if you people want to make it in the real news world today, you better get with it. Here's how it goes. Trump is bad, and anything bad is good. Very simple. Now go out there and get me that news. People are counting on us.
All right, come on, let's get going.
So, there you have it. A glimpse inside a newsroom of the modern American media. When you understand the process, the news makes a lot more sense. The Chasing Justice Players. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have you here. All right. We just heard from that amazing background in a news place. Does anybody think anything like that really goes on? Do you think they really sit around and put stories together that are negative about the president?
Of course. That's how they sell, like we were talking about before, that's how they sell newspapers.
So you think they make a decision that something good, like what happened with North Korea. Now, we don't know what's going to happen specifically with North Korea. We don't know if this guy's going to, and I don't mean Trump, I mean Kim Jong-un. We don't know if he's not going to back out, if he's not trying something funky in the background. But it looks like it's pretty good. We got three hostages out, and this guy's moving to the table to get rid of his nuclear weapons. Isn't that a good thing?
Of course.
So why doesn't the media report that?
I told you, it's all agenda-driven. And, you know, we have proof. Remember Dan Rather? I think it was Dan Rather. Yeah. Wasn't he caught?
He did. He made up some stuff about George Bush, about some kind of problem that he had, and he made up the documents, and he was actually thrown out of CBS News. But then, like a year later, all the media got together and they had a big celebration of Dan Rather's wonderful career. Instead of saying he was disgraced at the end, and out he goes. Even now, he's back on the news. He's doing things. So I got to ask, why do all these people move towards this socialism? Why is this so important to them? Don't they see the danger? One of the first things that are going to go is going to be the reporters, right? Don't we get that? Have we seen that anywhere?
I'm telling you, from the last segment, it was education. They are inculcated into socialism in the schools and in the universities.
So the mighty Chasing Justice Players brought us right inside to one of those meetings. I thought that was pretty amazing. And, you know, we'll keep looking for those wiretaps and other things that are going on. For a second, I want to tell you a little bit about my sponsors here as we're moving along. One of the greatest technology companies I've ever come across out there is A-Plus Technology and Security out of Long Island. They are not only a modern company, they're a visionary company. The owner, David Antar, and his team, they don't just look at what's going on now. They lift their heads above the crowd and they look down the road and they see what's going to happen tomorrow. And they're filling that safety and security need for everybody. So I would suggest if you need anything like that for your school, your facility, your building, your business, anything, take a look at A-Plus Technology at aplustechnology.com. A company near and dear to my heart that I like a lot is MCON IT. MCON IT are third-party providers of assistance for people with large IT groups, law enforcement, businesses. They do support for those kind of companies. They do data recovery and storage. Absolutely fantastic. In a modern world, how much data do we all have? So take a look at MCON IT, EMCONIT.com. Those are a couple of fantastic companies. So let's jump back in here. We got a couple more minutes before the end of round two here. The media and ethics. Are they ethical? Are they not ethical? We've talked about that. Let me tell you a little story. I'm going to ask you some questions. We're going to listen in here. And I want your opinions. If a law enforcement officer, cop on a beat, is out there on the street and he gets called to the local 7-Eleven, and the guy that owns the 7-Eleven grabbed a guy who was stealing out of his store, and then he calls the police to come lock him up. Is stealing wrong?
Of course. Of course.
Yes, of course.
Stealing is wrong. We all agree, right? Ethically, yes. We all agree stealing is wrong. Is stealing always wrong? If stealing is wrong, is it always wrong?
At its basic truth, any type of stealing is wrong. We have companies that give out pencils and things, and even the guy that takes a handful of pencils to bring home, that's
okay.
Ethically wrong.
Ethically, it is wrong. Now, let me add to the story. So we say that stealing is wrong, and in general, it is always wrong. Although, I got to watch my wallet now with you guys if you're not saying it's always wrong, okay? but let's add this to the story. You go there as the cop, and you show up, and you find out that the guy that he grabbed stealing out of his store tells you, I've been out of work for 7 months. My kids haven't eaten in 4 days. And he stole a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread.
Still wrong.
Still wrong. But are you going to lock this guy up?
No.
No. What are you probably going to do, Jim?
Well, it's certainly up to the owner of the 7-Eleven. But as a police officer, I would try to convince the owner. I know he's ethically obligated to arrest the subject. But as a police officer, I'd try to convince him of the circumstances.
You also have to determine whether the guy that's doing the stealing, the perpetrator, is telling him the truth. He just might be stealing whatever it is to sell, to buy drugs or
all right, well, you guys are very, very tough, all right? Coming from the world of law enforcement, let me tell you what I've seen over the course of my career. I've gone to those kind of calls. I've been the backup on those kind of calls. I can't tell you how many times the cops that I've worked with, I have seen them reach into their own pockets and pay for that food, whether the guy was lying or not. He comes up with a story, he's trying to feed his kids. Who could not identify with that, right? If your kids were hungry, wouldn't you do anything?
Of course.
To help your kids?
Of course.
Right? So that's one of the, but what it points out though is that we have this ethical line, right? We have this ethical line, but it can shift. Now let's throw another one out there. You're an officer, you're on patrol, you're out there running around in your town, and you get a call to the local liquor store. And you get a call, somebody's stealing, you roll up, and there's a local rum-dum there, and he's been caught shoplifting 20 times, and he stole a bottle of whiskey. You going to give that guy a break?
No.
No, why not?
No, because it's not for an ethical purpose, as you were speaking of. That the person who is stealing a gallon of milk for his children, you can take that person and you can steer him towards a public group that may help him, a church that may be able to intervene on his family's behalf and help him. But somebody who's stealing liquor, I mean, let's face it, where are you going to turn with this man?
Yeah, but
you can turn to the same outlets. You can turn him to a church. You can turn him to AA. You can try and help him. But he didn't take that whiskey for any ethical purposes.
Okay, but so basically, go ahead.
But if you overlook that crime, all you're doing is feeding his addiction.
Right. So my point here with ethics is that I don't like to say that the line can slide, but I guess it depends on the facts and how we view it. It's still wrong to steal. Jack, you were right. It's still wrong for that guy to steal. But sometimes people do what they feel they need to do, and we need to look into it a little further to see what's going on.
Everybody needs to have some compassion when it comes to situations like that.
See, I told you, the man of faith, have compassion for these kind of guys and girls. So I want to thank you all. Here we are on the end of round two, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes with round three.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Welcome back to Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Okay, our topics today, as we've been moving through here, we are now going to join the neighborhood here in New Jersey. The Jersey boys are all here. We got Billy, and we got Jimmy, and we got Jack over here, and of course, your friendly neighborhood host, Joe, here in the neighborhood. Values and ethics. I think one of the topics that comes up when I started talking to people about this, trying to run this around and see where we were going to go with this topic, one of the things that came up to me is it ethical, is it value-based to have the death penalty? Now, lots of states have the death penalty. Lots of them use it. Other states have it on the books but never use it. Some have had it and gotten rid of it. It's an interesting thing. Does the potential for the death penalty, does that stop someone from committing a crime that would be worthy of death penalty, like a murder? Or is it really appropriate retribution by society on someone? So when I was bringing this up, this topic really sets people off. And I'm sure people out in our audience here are also have all kinds of opinions about it. So I'm going to throw out something that came to me that I thought was important to cover as a person who's more on the conservative side. I brought this topic up and somebody said, you know, it's funny, you conservatives, you're all for the death penalty, but you're against abortion. Don't you find that to be problematic in your head? And I had to really give that a thought, and it came very, very clear to me. No. I don't have a problem with that. And you're conflating two completely different things. Both of them result in death of a human being. But let's look at the differences. In the case of the death penalty, you have someone who has committed a horrible crime against someone. They killed them, murdered them, raped them, dumped them in the woods, killed them in their house, whatever they did. They committed a horrible crime. They took somebody's life from them. As a society, we say that's worthy of the death penalty. You did something so bad that we're going to take your life from you as the penalty. In the case of abortion, and people can argue this until they're blue in the face, all I can say is this. We have to be real. Ed Koch said something a long time ago. He was pro-abortion, Ed Koch, the mayor of New York City. He said, let's be honest about it. It's killing babies, okay? I think you should be able to do it. But it is killing babies, let's be honest. So I think we need honesty in this debate, and the reason we don't have it, and I don't want to turn this into an abortion debate, but it's the trying to juxtapose the two. I'm okay with the death penalty, but I'm against abortion. And the difference is, one person committed a horrible crime. The baby, on the other hand, is a complete innocent. And we're saying it's okay to go into the safest place on the planet, should be a mother's womb, and literally rip that baby apart and kill it. They are not the same thing, people. I'm sorry. We can say what we want to say about it. You can be for it because it's the woman's right to choose. I'm not a woman. I'm not going to make the argument that you should or shouldn't. I just realize it's killing a baby who's innocent. And taking somebody's life when they've been convicted of a horrible crime in court is just punishment as far as I'm concerned. Out in the neighborhood, what do we think?
First of all, punishment and vengeance are sometimes used in the same context. Scripture says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and it is his right to take our lives or give them. He gave us, he created us, he can take our lives at any moment. Now, you're talking about vengeance. Vengeance is killing another person for committing a horrible crime. Punishment is the same thing. It's the same thing. You're punishing somebody when you don't have the right to do it. I believe wholeheartedly that nobody can take a life except God.
Well, that's an interesting point, and I think this is what I'm talking about. This is difficult because I go to church, right? My family goes to church. I love God. I love doing the right thing. But I got to tell you, somebody does something horrible to somebody in your family, there's two folds. Number one, what a horrible thing they've done, they should pay with their own life. Why should they be walking around talking to their family on Christmas, even though they're in jail, and having a life, getting to get law degrees and everything else, while my family member is moldering in a grave and I've already got the saw?
I don't agree with that. I don't think a person who's in jail for life for committing any type of horrible crime like you're talking about should have any rights in jail other than being left alone in a cell to rot.
Great. Now let me throw it right back at you.
Yeah.
Once we have them in that cell, are we using ethics to then treat them horribly? If we've decided that we're going to keep them alive, don't we have a responsibility then to treat them like a decent human being, even though they've done such a horrible thing?
So a man of faith thinks you can't kill somebody, but you can torture them for the rest of their life.
Is that torture?
Being left alone in a cell?
Yes. That is torture. That definitely is torture. My feelings on the subject are simply this. Many times we've heard in different court decisions, we've heard about the family coming forward that had the victim within their family excusing the person who did the crime or forgiving the crime. Of course, the court system is going to go ahead and sentence that person to whatever they feel is necessary for that crime. But having the person forgive the person that perpetrated this upon their family is totally different. I believe that should be taken into account when and if they decide to use the death penalty or imprison that person for life. Also, with the abortion issue, I'm going to step back as a man and I'm going to tell you my personal belief is this. The woman should decide, not society. I believe it's the woman's choice. And I believe it's the woman's choice, especially when something has been done wrong to her. Instances of rape, instances of incest, things such as this. I think these should be taken into account in a logical thinking world as to whether or not that person should be allowed to get that abortion.
Jack, I think the point you bring up here is really good. It's a woman's body, and I get that.
The human aspect.
And it's her, the human side of it, you're right. It's her body, it's her decision. But each one of these things we talk about has so many ethical components built in. Yes, it's a woman's body, and she should decide what happens to her body. I don't think we can argue that. Of course, that's the deal. But what about nobody speaks for the baby? We want to pretend. That's another thing that people pretend. They use words, because what did we say a couple weeks ago in Joe Pangaro's thing? Words mean things, right? We parse our words, we say certain things, we have certain meanings to our words. When someone is pregnant, that is not a lump of cells. That is a human being, and that is a baby. Now, just because guys in a black robe don't want to come out and make a thing and say it's a baby, because if you say it's a baby, now the Constitution kicks in and is it constitutionally protected as a baby? I'm not arguing the woman's right here. All right, that is the law of the land, whether I like it or not. And I'm not imposing my will on anybody. All I'm saying is this. That is a baby that's growing inside that mother, and nobody is speaking for that baby. What if it's a baby girl? What about her body? Hey, I'm just throwing it out there. Go ahead, Jack.
But I would continue to argue the woman's point of view. She is the one who carries that life. She is the one who, God forbid, has been wronged by someone in society and does not wish to bring this life into her life because of what it will do to her.
Okay, so now you're coming across a point that I have a hard time wrestling with. I have a wife, I have a daughter, I have female friends, I have cousins who, if they were raped and ended up pregnant and were forced to then keep that baby, it doesn't change the fact that it's a baby. That is a human life brought here by God, and that's what I believe, whether you believe it or not.
But it's a reminder of what happened to that woman.
And I have a hard time trying to say that that woman shouldn't have the right during a rape to have an abortion.
This is how I look at it. We have sanctioned the killing of human beings throughout history in the preservation of freedom. Every war. World War II. How many people died when we had to bomb Dresden? The Revolutionary War. It's all for the sake of freedom. The woman who did not have the free choice when in instances of rape, incest, and I can understand the killing of the baby under that premise.
And you know what? I'm glad you said that because that's what it is. Let's just, Ed Koch, I hope you're in heaven listening because this is the truth. Let's just be honest about the argument. It is killing the baby.
Yes.
Yeah. Once that human is conceived, it has DNA. And DNA is the basis of all life. It's alive. So in the womb, regardless, 1 month, 8 months, it's a baby. It's a life.
Excellent. Gents, now, like I said, I didn't want this to turn into an abortion debate. We have all the points of view represented here. I just say, let's be honest about it. And as a society, whatever the law is, the law is. For babies that are aborted, I'll pray for them. I'll pray for the mothers because nobody ever talks about that side of it. There are women that have had abortions because they thought it was the right thing to do or they felt they had to, and then they suffer later on. And that's a whole nother story. Everybody out there in the world has your own opinion. And they're all valid. I want to move along to something else here, something topical in the news. First of all, though, let me give you an email address because I'd love to hear from you. What do you think of the Mighty Justice, Chasing Justice players out there? What do you think of our topics? It's the letter J and my last name. The letter J, PANGARO, at AmericaOutloud.com. We'd love to hear from you, see what's going on out there. All right, so Jack, you brought something up earlier in reference to an aircraft from a foreign nation. Go ahead.
Okay, we recently had an incursion to the borders of Alaska by two Russian bombers that are capable of carrying nuclear weapons. Now, nobody knows whether or not they were carrying nuclear weapons at the time. They probably were not. But once again, this is another provocative move on their behalf, which we're guilty of too. In the Black Sea, we've had fighters come close to each other. We've had fighters and or warships come close to each other, just provoking each other. Hopefully, this provocation leads to more talk.
Right. So you got to ask, what's the purpose of it? I mean, I get it to show, hey,
it's inflammatory.
I could get you if I wanted to get you now. I could blow up a mountain in Alaska, and then the United States would wipe out all of Central Europe. So I kind of understand. The whole, showing each other your power. But you're right. We do it also. We fly over places to show people that we can do it also. Nothing resulted out of that, right? There was no shoot down, no firing,
no.
Nothing like that. No Top Gun flying upside down, doing whatever. Okay, so that's good.
The question, though, is why is this happening?
Well, I think it's been happening a long time. I think we can go back in history, and it's constantly
happening.
But the
relations between the United States and Russia have become worse.
Well, here's your answer. I don't mean to cut you off, but it came to my head. Why is North Korea at the table? because instead of a weak America, we have a strong America. And you know what? Maybe we better talk. So these two guys, these two presidents of these two countries, basically are showing their power to each other. Maybe that'll make them talk.
But you have two countries right now, namely Russia and the United States, who are, for the most part, equally as powerful as one another. North Korea, of course, is not as powerful as the United States, and I believe that he knew what was going to happen to himself and to his people and to his disconnected countrymen in the South if he were to open up any kind of nuclear conflict.
Right.
The Russians, on the other hand, we've been having problems with them lately, and this has been going on for quite a while, being provocative, moving warships close to their shores. Certainly everything that's been happening in Syria has been a major issue with the Russians. But I often go back to the point that nobody speaks of course, in the media, which is during Trump's campaign, he says, I want to be friends with the Russians. Wouldn't it be great if the two biggest superpowers in the world were to become friends? What a great world that would be, and I believe that.
Because let me throw something out there before you go any further, because I get your point. The only thing I don't really agree with is the parity between the United States and the Russian military. Have you seen the American military? There's nothing to compare with the United States military. These other Russians, they got bombs, they got jets. They don't got nothing compared to the United States.
Since the breakup of the Soviet Union.
Hey, soldiers, Navy, airmen, seamen, and our great Marines out there, you are number one. There's nobody can come close to you. I'll take you in a battle anytime against the Russians, the Chinese, against the Martians when they show up. But that's for another episode with Jim. I will take our American military against anybody. All right, let's move along a little bit. Recently, some very interesting people, not as interesting as the mighty Chasing Justice players, I'll admit, but a couple of interesting people popped out and had some things to say. The wonderful gift to America, Nancy Pelosi, and Maxine Waters. Now, that's a comedy show I'd like to see every week. Did anybody hear anything they had to say this week? Anything interesting?
I just read it before I came here, and it was just one article on the internet. But Representative Kelly was talking in front of the Senate, I believe, and claimed to wanted to move off the divisive talk and toward something that unites us. Well, Maxine Waters, she freaked out. And, I mean, she actually said at the end of her statement, I am offended by the statement, make America great again. And she made a whole racial issue out of this where none really existed.
Nothing exists there. Make America great again refers very clearly to the malaise that America was in at the end of the George Bush administration and the entire Barack Obama administration. Make America Great Again is Donald Trump's not veiled, we should be a white country, we should get rid of our minority, none of that. What it refers to is the greatness of America, the ethical, value, political, military power of America that has been good for the planet Earth. The greatest nation the face of Earth has ever seen. We have saved more people across this planet than will ever be known. That's what he's talking about, making America strong and great. Which goes back to my point. When America is weak, we see chaos across the globe. We see absolute total chaos. We now have a president that's willing to walk quietly sometimes, but usually louder, but carry that big stick, and he's not afraid to use it, and you see people starting to be healed. Bill?
That brings me to one of my favorite Bible verses when it comes to President Trump. It's Psalm 149, verses 6 and 7. It says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations. I love that, because that's powerful. President Trump. He has the values. He does have, I want to say integrity, but there are some fine lines there, but I'm not going to approach that. But he has the sword. The two-edged sword is God's truth. It's the Bible. And when he takes a stand, he doesn't allow anyone to cross that line. He stands right on that line with 2 feet and he dares them to cross it.
And that's what Make America Great Again means. It's not saying you have to be one religion. It's what it's saying is America, what it stands for, what it's meant to humanity, is peace.
Liberty.
Justice. The ability to thrive as human beings. So that's really what he's talking about. So, gents, as we shut down for this week at the end of round three, I want to thank you all very much. Hey, remember our sponsors, including Pangaro Training, Blue Magazine, excellent, thebluemagazine.com, great for law enforcement, for cops, everybody go take a read, A-plus Technology and Security, A-plus Technology.com, absolutely fantastic, and let's see, am I leaving anybody out?
MCON,
thank you, how can I leave them out? They're excellent, MCON, E-M-C-O-N-I-T.com, thank you, Jim, for helping out. Until next week, remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.